prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little pill that treats ED is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/me. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/me. That's forhims.com/me for your free online visit. forhims.com/me.
Babbel presents How to Speak to Animals.
That's a dog.
In Spanish, it's un perro.
He says woof.
Woof? No. Spanish dogs say wow, wow.
Wow?
Wow. More like with a G. Wow, wow.
Oh, okay. Wow. So that's a little chick.
Aw, it's un pollito.
Chicks say chirp, chirp.
Chirp? That sounds like a low smoke detector battery. In Spanish, they say pio, pio.
Pio, pio.
Sí, you do a very good pollito.
With Babbel, speak to your dog, cat, girlfriend, best friend, pretty much anyone in French, Spanish, German, and more. 150 language experts and educators designed Babbel to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language. It takes just 10 to 15 minutes a day to get conversational. Now, try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio. ProFootballTalk.com. NBC Sports. Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
We got game! We get better bet!
We got
BB!
We got BB!
Insider Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Mike. Guys.
Well, we are all fired up because there are just all sorts of interesting quarterback stuff leaking out all over the place. The Bears apparently have been priced out of the Teddy Bridgewater sweepstakes. And
No, the Teddy Bridgewater, oh, $30 million a year.
Yeah, too much.
No, it's fake. It's fake. Here's what's going on. And it's amazing to me how much we're going to see this. You've got agents who are trying to scare teams away from other quarterbacks, agents who represent rival quarterbacks, trying to find spots for their guys, floating fake numbers to try to get teams to say $30 million to Teddy Bridgewater, screw that. So they don't even start the process of exploring. It is an extremely low-tech way of manipulating the market, and it's kind of stupid because all any teams have to do is contact Teddy Bridgewater's agent. But I am told very reliably this is nothing that's originated with Bridgewater's camp, that the strong suspicion is other agents are putting this out there to try to get teams who are in the process now of identifying their potential targets a month from today, because all these decisions are going to be made in advance. You've got too many pieces, too many teams, too many quarterbacks, too much happening. They're trying to scare teams away from Teddy Bridgewater by suggesting he wants more than he really does.
So what does he want? What is realistic? And how does it go from that? Is he the first domino to fall?
I don't think he's the first domino to fall. I think Tom Brady is the first domino to fall. And I think teams that are intrigued and interested in him are going to want to know what he's going to do. Now, you could have Tom Brady pull the ultimate power play and slow the whole process down, by basically holding everyone hostage while he talks to the teams that are interested, and it may be that a bunch of teams are. But I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be more in the range of 20 to 22, maybe. Nick Foles got 22 last year with far fewer veteran free agent options. I mean, this is not a good year for a quarterback to become a free agent because there's so many other guys. And yes, the market has gone haywire, but Teddy Bridgewater started six games since the 2015 season. Remember that? That epic outdoor playoff loss when Blair Walsh hooked it left, the last game that the Vikings played outdoors before their new stadium. After that game, Teddy Bridgewater has started six total games. It's hard to justify a huge contract for him, and I think low 20s is going to be difficult. There's no way he's getting 30, but I could see a team out there saying, hey, look, we see what he did last year with the Saints. We know what he's capable of now that he's healthy. It was a long road, but he's a good teammate. He's great in the locker room. He's a great quarterback when given the right weapons and the right offense. And I could see somebody making the commitment, not just for him to compete or to be the, you know, break glass in event of Trubisky emergency option, but I think a guy who could actually go in and be the number one guy from the outset of his tenure with a new team.
Mike, it's very rare that Mike Tomlin comes out and talks during the offseason. And Mike Tomlin, I guess I didn't know this, but it makes sense when you hear it, has never been on the podium at the combine. He's like one of these coaches that just doesn't like to do that sort of stuff. He did come out and he did talk about he wanted to defend Mason Rudolph. And we know Myles Garrett says that the reason he went nuts and pulled the helmet and hit him with it is because he said the N-word at him. There's no way of really proving or disproving. I think the logic that people use is that if that happened, then why did he apologize to him the next day before using that as a defense later on when he was going to be suspended? Where are we at with this story? Is it over? Is it just beginning? I don't know which way to turn with this thing.
Well, and this thing's fascinating to me, too, because I look at the circumstantial evidence. I look at what really happened between the two guys. Mason Rudolph tried to remove Myles Garrett's helmet, and I think Garrett's reaction was, screw you, I'm going to remove your helmet. And then when Rudolph continued to charge Myles Garrett, that's when Garrett kind of reflexively swung the helmet. Look, if Garrett had truly heard a slur that would have gotten him angry enough to hit Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet, I think Garrett would have been the one charging Rudolph, and Garrett would have been complaining to the referee, did you hear what he said to me? You know, anytime a guy thinks that he's on the wrong end of some sort of an egregious act on the football field, he throws his hands in the air and starts complaining to someone. Garrett didn't do that. And then minutes later in the locker room, Garrett was calm. Garrett was poised. Garrett just said, I lost my cool. And it would have been nice if somebody would have drawn a box around his testimony and said, did Mason Rudolph do anything to provoke you other than what we saw? And that would have been his chance to say something then and there. Look, I think Myles Garrett knows at some level that he needs to have a provocation for what he did or he becomes Vontaze Burfict, right? And so some people will hear his claim and think, well, I understand why he hit Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet. And I really do think that's what's at the core of this. The question moving forward is, will Mason Rudolph actually file a lawsuit over this? I don't think he should. The standard is much higher for public figures. And the problem is the verdict will become the litmus test for whether or not Mason Rudolph said what Myles Garrett claims he said. And I think Mason Rudolph could find himself in a spot where, yes, what Myles Garrett said was false, but it doesn't rise to the level of actual malice that a public figure needs to prove in a case like this, so he loses. So the average person is going to look at that and say, well, he must have said it if he didn't win the lawsuit. So I think for a lot of reasons, it makes sense to move on, even though it is something that's going to stick with Mason Rudolph for the rest of his career, really.
Mike, as you might have guessed, the last week or so, we have spent a lot of time on this show criticizing Rob Manfred and the way he's handled the Astros fallout. Found it interesting on the Pro Football Talk Twitter account yesterday, this was tweeted. If the NFL commissioner had so badly bungled the situation like the MLB commissioner is bungling the Astros sign-stealing scandal, the NFL would already have a new commissioner.
Yeah, and I agree with that completely. And look, a lot of people responded to that by saying, well, Roger Goodell has bungled plenty of disciplinary investigations and decisions and other matters over his tenure, but he's never been confronted with something this bad. And the best example I can give to take this from baseball to football. And tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm no baseball expert by any means, but when you know what the pitch is and what the location of the pitch is going to be, that's the equivalent of intercepting the coach-to-quarterback communication before every play, right? Almost like the middle linebacker is out there hearing what the play call is and is able to tell his teammates run or pass, right? Knows the playbook, knows the calls, knows whether it's going to be a run or a pass, which is the equivalent of knowing the play type in advance, and you parlay that all the way to a Super Bowl championship. And if a team did that in the NFL and they didn't strip that team of the Super Bowl championship, I think Roger Goodell would be run out of office. And look, I think Rob Manfred made the strategic decision to try to drop the hammer as best he could, but not get in the habit of taking back a trophy. That raises the whole thing to a level that they didn't want to take it to. But I think in hindsight, they probably are going to wish they took it that far, because it's not going away. Because there is this nagging sense that Manfred didn't go far enough. And I just believe if Roger Goodell had facts like those that I laid out and hadn't taken away a Super Bowl championship, that he would be gone by now, especially because football is followed so much more aggressively than baseball. And think of the betting consequences. Think of how many more people bet on football. If you corrupt a season's worth of bets because someone was cheating that blatantly and you don't take serious action against it, I think you've got pitchforks and torches on 345 Park Avenue until they do change commissioner. So Manfred's lucky that baseball isn't as popular as it used to be, because if it was, I think he'd already be gone.
Mike, when we start talking about the combine coming up and we start talking about different players who can go up or down, you know, Tua is kind of hanging over this draft in terms of whether he's going to be able to work out again. If I were him, I would just worry about the combine recheck, make sure that I get all the medicals correct before the draft. But what do you have an idea of what part of the draft? Is he a top five pick at this point if he comes back? Is he a top 10 pick? Is there any way he falls?
I think he's going to end up being in the top five. I think we're going to have three quarterbacks in the top five. And if anybody would fall, it would be him. But, you know, he's going to get a clean bill of health. What's going to happen is some teams are going to be concerned by the history of lower body injuries at the college level.
Right.
That if you can't stay healthy at the college level and you're a mobile guy and you've had ankle injuries and now this hip injury, that it's too much of a risk to take on. But all it takes is one team. And the financial investment in a top player is so much less than it used to be. And the upside of having a franchise quarterback is so important to today's NFL. And you look at all these teams that have these great young quarterbacks and what it means to them for the next 15 years, you could argue it's worth the risk if you don't have one of those guys. And, you know, the Dolphins don't. And, yeah, they'd love to get Joe Burrow. You know, I don't like to traffic in pre-draft rumor, but I'm telling you, the Dolphins want Joe Burrow if they can get him. And now there's a report they're warming up to the idea of Justin Herbert as a plan B. But if they're at five and Tua's at five and the other two quarterbacks are gone, I'm not going to be surprised if they take him, because there's just too much to be gained by having a franchise quarterback. And you've got Nick Saban. God love Nick Saban. He comes out and says, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on this guy, but he kind of reminds me of Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. Okay, Jeff, Nick, thanks. Thanks for that, Nick.
Oh, man.
But you know, we met him at the Super Bowl and we had him on the show for a while. He's got a great way about him. And I'm really having a hard time because, like, a bunch of these guys coming into the draft are younger than my son now. So, I mean, I remember feeling old when I realized that the players coming into the draft were younger than me. Now they're younger than my kid. But he seems like a really engaging young man, and I could see him being a good natural leader in a locker room. And I think once teams meet him and look at his film and look at what he's done at Alabama, somebody's going to take that risk, because the upside far outweighs the downside.
Speaking of the quarterbacks, week two of the XFL, Mike, it's Cardale Jones and everybody else, and I think the poor quarterback play might make that product a little bit harder to watch than it has been already. I think it's been fun to watch, fun to see it develop, but they need to find some quarterbacks who can play.
Well, Jordan Ta'amu, he is second in the league in passing and third in the league in rushing. So he's doing all right for the St. Louis Battlehawks. And also P.J. Walker, who used to be Phillip Walker, who had three cups of coffee with the Colts but never was able to stick on a roster. He's been pretty good for the Houston Roughnecks. But, you know, here's the thing. They don't have enough competent quarterbacks to go around. The games aren't as high scoring as they wanted them to be. And, you know, I put them on. It's the old Seinfeld thing. Why am I watching? Because it's on TV. And and so it's background noise while I'm working on a Saturday or a Sunday. It's not appointment viewing. And that's the challenge. Having enough players, having enough compelling content that people plan their weekends around watching the XFL games. And I just don't see that happening. And the question is, can they find a way to make a profit, to sustain the business by just being basically our sports background noise? And there's some challenges coming up. You've got the NCAA basketball conference tournaments. You've got the scouting combine. You've got March Madness. You've got baseball around the corner. And at what point do we just forget about the XFL? I remember last year, I watched the AAF every weekend. And then the Saturday and Sunday before NFL free agency, I completely forgot about it. And you know, they've got to get to a point where we say we got to see this. And that's why I'm disappointed they haven't signed guys like Johnny Manziel. Pay Colin Kaepernick to get him on the field. Get Tim Tebow on the field. Pay Trevor Lawrence, for crying out loud. How much would it take to get Trevor Lawrence to say, see you later, Clemson? And, you know, I think the XFL is conflicted there because they've got to deal with ESPN. And I don't think ESPN wants them to, you know, slay the golden goose, which is college football, which ESPN is so invested in. But if you really want to resonate, you need to have players that make us say, oh, I have to watch this game. And I think they're a long way from getting to that point.
Mike, thanks a ton. Always a joy to catch up with you.
Thanks,
appreciate
Mike.
It.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. Does a wonderful job. You know, what about loaning out a quarterback? If you had a quarterback you felt needed more seasoning, didn't play enough in college, and you wanted him to play more, why not just lend him to an
NFL?
Don't
you think Tyler Bray's watching these guys and say, I can do that better? And wouldn't you like to see him try?
I was thinking of another quarterback. But
oh, you mean the starter?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I applied it, though. Mully, you inferred it. Mully and Haw on the score.
You're listening to Mully and Haw, Chicago's number one sports morning show. They cover all of Chicago's teams, from the daily wins and losses to the most historic moments in Chicago sports. When you think Chicago sports, think Mully and Haw. Mornings 5 to 9, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is my Penn State World Campus classroom, giving me the full Penn State experience online, no matter if I'm currently serving or a veteran. It's home to thousands of students working together with faculty to advance our careers, change our careers, or finally earn our degrees. My classroom is just like every Penn State classroom because it's getting me to where I want to be. Click on the ad or visit worldcampus.psu.edu to learn more.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little pill that treats ED is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/me. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/me. That's 4hims.com/me for your free online visit. forhims.com/me.
Babbel presents How to Speak to Animals.
That's a dog.
In Spanish, it's un perro.
He says woof.
Woof? No. Spanish dogs say wow, wow.
Wow?
Wow. More like with a G. Wow, wow.
Oh, okay. Wow. So that's a little chick.
Aw, it's un pollito.
Chicks say chirp, chirp.
Chirp? That sounds like a low smoke detector battery. In Spanish, they say pio, pio.
Pio, pio.
See, you do a very good pollito.
With Babbel, speak to your dog, cat, girlfriend, best friend, pretty much anyone in French, Spanish, German, and more. 150 language experts and educators designed Babbel to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language. It takes just 10 to 15 minutes a day to get conversational. Now, try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be...